All right. So here we are. It is the Friday night special. The Friday night special on Facebook. And you are watching the Quite Frankly podcast. You're watching the podcast. Or you're listening to the podcast. But I have a lot of stuff put aside, and I don't know if I want to talk about any of it. I have a lot of Star Wars stuff to talk about. Now, I promise you this. I promise you this because I have to get some thoughts down on it. I want to make highlights and get it up on the YouTube and all that stuff. So we have to get the shit out there. I promise you that I'm not going to say anything too revealing. I promise you that. I won't do that. But I just want to talk about things that might just make you want to see, can't wait to see it more. Okay, I'm not going to try to take anything away from you. That's number one. Okay? What'd you say?
Han Solo comes back from the dead.
He is back from the dead. Technically, somewhere in the galaxy. He's alive in this film.
Oh, well, yeah, all right. Yeah, he technically.
He's a young man again.
It's true.
He's a young man again. He's virile. He's probably pounding lots of space pussy. So that's, yeah, Han Solo is technically alive. So you could say that you heard that here. But it's going to be a good one. It's going to be a good one. And I tell you, the reason why I need to talk about this tonight is because I was scared for so long about what was going to be done to the film, especially after we had two major writers on the film. One of them is responsible for the screenplay. I think Gary Whitta and Chris Weitz, the guys that put out those anti-Donald Trump rants with the telling everybody that the Empire is a white human supremacist movement and the Rebellion is a multicultural force run by, you know, women, led by women and all that. And it was really disconcerting. But I have to say, as I was sitting there, and I think everybody that we went with too would agree, it didn't smell of agenda at all. You know, so that's the first thing I wanted to say. I was very happy to have been able to really enjoy that movie, and it didn't smell like agenda at all. It was really balanced. All the I believed in the characters. I rooted for the characters I was supposed to. I was intrigued by them, but I was happy to find that it wasn't all bad. You know, there was one part, and listen, this is just, it doesn't, like I said, whatever I do talk about is not going to take away anything from you. But they did do this one thing, whereas there was nothing in there, what happened with Weitz and Gary Whitta, and what I hope it is, what I'm just going to just pretend that it is and never think about it ever again, is that in a moment of hysteria, and everybody was looking how to get on top of a soapbox the last month and a half, and they're still doing it, much to their own embarrassment, whether they know about it or not, many of them at least. I just hope that whenever they put those tweets out there about Star Wars and the Empire and all this white supremacist multicultural bullshit, that it was just a moment of hysteria. Because I have to imagine that you're not thinking about society, post-election society, in a nightmare situation where Donald Trump wins and your world view gets, you know, pretty much it gets a brick to the windshield when your foundation has been rocked that deep. I don't think that people were writing this film in that mindset, because this film was being written a couple of years ago. So I'm hoping that this was just a case of two guys that in a moment of hysteria kind of, you know, maybe sully or not destroy their work, but make their work a little bit unpalatable for many people when they shouldn't have. Because I can't believe that they really were thinking this ridiculous shit when they were writing the film. If they were, then, I mean, then come out and say it. I don't think they're going to say it now. They know they were wrong. Because do you ever make good decisions when you're angry? No. I don't know. But in either case, Star Wars, we got to talk a lot about that stuff tonight. I think Vinny Brusco is going to be calling in soon. But I will tell you what I'm not going to do. What I'm never going to do is I'm never going to watch any of these actors or actresses in interviews. Nope. I will watch and I will analyze the movies. From now on, sometimes it crosses your path and you're like, oh, why did I have to hear that? But from now on, I'm going to analyze the films and I'm not going to any actors' interviews. I don't want to hear what they have to say about anything. Because right now, I like everybody in this cast and I like the energy that they brought to the film. And that's it. I don't want to hear about any of their politics. Oh, wait, I think Vinny Brusco just called. Vinny!
Frank, how are you, my friend?
Oh, dude. Listen, we were just talking about this stuff. Okay, and everybody, please, I'm putting the minor spoiler alert on the screen here. Wait, font.
Minor spoiler alert.
It's a minor spoiler alert.
I can't
alert.
Believe he was his father the whole time.
Oh, but right now on the show, on the phone, we have the great Vinny Brusco of the Vinny Brusco Show. You can find his podcast on iTunes. And where else, Vinny?
That's pretty much it.
Okay, that's it. You have to host it somewhere, man. You can't just put it up to iTunes.
Yeah, iTunes is, I think it's on SoundCloud too, maybe somewhere in the long, long ago.
What have you been talking about in the show lately?
Oh, well, I talked about, obviously, Rogue One. We'll get into that in a second, I guess. If you want to talk about that at all, some holiday tips on how you can avoid getting in trouble at your office Christmas party, and the teenage Lisa talking about that, and those experiences. Kind of just it's become a therapy session for myself. So
it's good, man. I love it, and you still record it on the way to CrossFit every day
at 4 o'clock in the morning. It's 15 minutes. I do 2 15-minute shows every week, and it's sometimes Tuesday and Friday because sometimes I just don't go to the gym or I fucking sound like shit right now. I'm not doing anything.
Well, how's your Christmas shaping up? You gonna have a good week next week?
It's a grind. Having a child in Christmas, it's the best thing in the world when they realize what a tree is and presents. Like just now, we're watching A Very Mickey Christmas. I'm falling asleep on the couch, but we're all just cozied up under the Christmas tree lights watching A Mickey Christmas. I'm just like, yeah, this is where it's at right now.
Yeah, well, good, man. Good. You know? Sounds great.
You get a new appreciation for life once you have a child. You know, once your child rediscovers what ants are, you're like, whoa, you're like living vicariously through them. It's very bizarre.
What you have to do right now is you have to prepare them mentally for the movies you have to show them in a couple of years. Because
she knows them. She walks up to my Star Wars action figures, or she looks through the Toys R Us magazine. She points them and she goes, "Dada, dada."
Like, exactly. He is every last one of them. He is every last one of those figures. So let's talk about Star Wars, okay? Now, what we're doing is we're talking about elements of the movie as far as cinematography, feel, character development. Let's not spoil anybody's fun, but let's just talk.
No, definitely not.
But let's where do you want to start, cuz I have so many things here I want to bring up. First of all, what do you think about all the new technology that we get exposed to?
I loved it. I loved every bit of it. The only way I could capture Rogue One in my, if you enjoyed Star Wars Battlefront, it's that as a movie.
Yes,
it's a war movie. You're watching war movie.
And I love Battlefront. By the way, do you play it on PlayStation or what?
I'm on Xbox One.
Dude, is there any crossover yet? Because I play. It's the only thing I play, man.
It's such a good game. Visually, it's stunning. The way I described that game was, you just feel like you're partaking in the actual Star Wars. You're just you're a ground troop, and you're just, you're not part of the immediate circle. You're on the outside, and that's okay. And you're just partaking in these Star Wars. And
you know, Vin, I think it was my buddy Steve I was telling when I first started. It was probably around this time last year that we were starting to play. We were really like balls deep in the Star Wars because that came out in November with the PS4 bundle pack. And I was telling Steve about Star Wars, and it's still true, especially if I'm a little lit some nights. I get a little elevated, and I'll sit there, and I just become – it's amazing a way to close out the day. And I told Steve, I said, my man, this is like every night I'm partaking in some of those battles in far-off places that weren't told in the main story. Like we,
correct.
Like, and because – and if you look at – let's go a little bit deeper for our loser selves. Let's go a little bit deeper.
Let's do it.
If you go a little bit deeper and you say this, okay, the Star Wars universe is one of fiction. It's one of fantasy. It doesn't actually exist except for
I really hope it does.
It doesn't. Well, I know. We all hold out hope. But it doesn't exactly exist outside of what we create about it. And if this
correct.
And in that way of thinking, this video game is a direct appendage of that Star Wars universe, which means that there is a sense of Star Wars real history that's going on every time you play a goddamn level, and you are the MVP.
Yeah, I mean, you must be high as shit when you're thinking of this, but I'm so jealous of you that you are thinking that. Me, I'm like, I'm fucking screaming at some 12-year-old in fucking Idaho.
No.
I just want to bite my controller.
Exactly.
And you're having these deep, profound thoughts while you're playing.
Well, let
now,
me
I'm
say,
so jealous of it. That's wonderful.
Let me just say that the only reason why I'm able to have those deep, profound thoughts while I'm playing is because I can't hear the 12-year-olds on the other side. The best thing about the game is that it's not like Call of Duty where you hear these nincompoops there. You can actually pretend they're actual stormtroopers, you know?
Yeah.
And that's the best part about it, that you don't hear these freaks.
Yeah, I suck at the game in general. All first-person shooters, they infuriate me. But I guess if I was high, I'd enjoy it a shit ton more. But
yeah.
I just get anxiety and paranoid when that partakes. So
okay, so
kind of productive.
Planetary shield gate. What do you think about that?
It's fantastic. The whole movie was such a perfect plug-in to the story. Without moving, you can't move the story forward, obviously, because The Force Awakens is phenomenal, and that moved it, but it fits so perfectly as this little puzzle piece, just this little bit of story that we didn't have before, you know, from character development to planets that we've heard about, like you're saying before, planets we've read about in the comics, and then you see it on Star Wars Rebels. There were just so many small little nuances from cartoons to comics to books that just tied in so neatly, and yet like not force fed down your throat in any capacity. I'm not going to go into any cameos that were in the movie, but everything was just done like tastefully. It wasn't this over-the-top Star Wars movie. It wasn't that, nor did it need to be, because you just got The Force Awakens last year, and that was an over-the-top Star Wars movie. This was this neat little pocket of just fun and awesomeness.
I think that what you describe right there goes right in hand with what I've been saying lately, is just that it's great to see that it seems like the 30 years... Or maybe about the, 15, 17 years or so between episode 3 and episode 4. Like, what happened in the in-between? What happened when Vader was hunting down the last of the Jedi? What was going on? You know, what was going on then? I like how through the combination of the comics and through the series, the animated series, and through these little standalones, we're going to have so many of our answers, our questions answered.
So you go way more balls deep than I do. I watch Star Wars Rebels on occasion. I got Catalyst, but I didn't want to read the book because I was like, I don't want to know too much about Rogue One before. Then everything I've heard about Catalyst doesn't give any spoilers away. So if you're not going to see Rogue One in theaters, I'd say maybe read Catalyst first, because you actually get a nice in-depth look of some of the relationships in the movie prior to. So it's kind of cool. But I didn't do it because I was like, I kind of want to go in really, really fresh. And now I'm going to go back and read Catalyst and just see how those relationships developed. And then I'll watch Rogue One probably four more times in theaters. But I can't explain. I was like, when I left the movie there, I was like, God damn, that was good. And then when I woke up this morning to go to the gym and do my podcast, I was like revisiting the movie in my head. And I had such another appreciation for it. I was just like, God damn. And the way it looked, like, I mean, you've seen in the trailers and obviously, it's just some pictures, the movie poster alone. That beach scene was just something like, I was just like, God damn it, this is unbelievable.
Right there, how it looked, the unbelievable. Let me ask you something. Have you noticed also there's something about the way that starlight or like a sun, some kind of a nearby sun shines its light on the Star Destroyers that makes it feel like it was that 1977 type of feel. I don't know what it is. They have a porcelain type of white. They're a porcelain white. It looks very, very
water,
retro.
Something about that water.
Yes. Yeah. But and everybody, once again, this is not a spoiler at all because you saw this stuff in the trailers.
You see the movie poster has the beach scene on it. I mean, it's right there for you.
And what was the other thing I wanted to bring up with the also the technology. When you think of 1970s science fiction, you think of rooms with blinking lights and unlabeled buttons that just equate to I don't know, just technology, and we have no clue what it does.
Right.
That's what a lot of Star Wars was. There was just a lot of things just blinking, and you didn't know what it was. And of course, all of the graphics that were used, whether it's holograms or anything, it was very, very primitive. I like how they took, in the originals when they're talking about the Death Star map in the original, and you see the dots and it all comes together in the sphere and all that. They kept they kept that very Atari type of feel to their technology, even though it was this 2016 amazing looking, space war.
That's what, like, a concern. I mean, even when you were younger and you were getting ready for the prequels, which I want to ask you a question about that after this, but when you were getting ready to watch the prequels, like, well, how are you going to do the technology? Because now we're in the past. We're not in present day. And they did a pretty good job with the prequels with that. Like, blasters, obviously, the old theory is like, oh, the blasters wouldn't be as developed, therefore the lightsabers would be more developed than the blasters would be. So you're like, all right, that makes sense. Like, swords were obviously out for, were first, and then, obviously as we got more technologically advanced, we became a more technologically advanced weapon, therefore, moving on. But they did, I agree with you 100%, they still kept the same ilk, if you will, of the original series, the original movies, without adding too much of modern day technology.
Absolutely.
They still had that blank canvas, but that blank canvas of like generic red and blue buttons with green buttons, they just added just a tinge of like, it's like they just added like an outline to the generic red button. It was like, oh, that works now because it just pops a little bit more.
Absolutely. It's like they preserved something while making it new at the same time. Like,
exactly.
And here's the other thing. We can't talk about that. You can't talk about that.
There's so much I want to talk about, but I won't.
Okay. No, we can say this. We can say this because there's no details, and it's only going to make it more intriguing. Obviously, we all know what the premise of the movie was. This was how they got the information to blow up the Death Star. This was just the untold story of it. I love how they took a lot of... can't say it. I don't think I can say it.
Fuck. All right.
Nah, to hell with it.
Text me afterwards because I'm just curious. My question was, and here's my, but going back to the prequels, do they still fit in this world? Like, do they serve their purpose still as movies? I think they do personally. They were just on the other day and I was watching, like, goddamn, these suck. There's so much CGI to these movies and that's what makes it bad. More so than the story or the acting, Anakin kind of sucked when he was younger, but you know, you can kind of get over that, but the CGI is just so heavy in those movies. Do those still fit in this world, or do we go back and try to recreate those with now knowing what the capability is, like The Force Awakens and Rogue One? Do we redo those?
You're talking about a reboot?
Yeah. Do you redo those movies?
Well, I don't know. But because I'll tell you.
I say no. Empire. I think they served their purpose. They didn't come across the way they were supposed to. They told the story, and they are what they are.
Yeah.
But I was thinking, I was like, God, do we redo those now? Because, God damn it, these new ones. Like, and going back to the beach scene, and this is no spoilers, obviously, we're not going to ruin it, but there's something about the way it's like, and they did this a lot in The Force Awakens, that it was fucking perfect. You feel like, and they do it on Game of Thrones a lot too, you feel like you're on the playset of an action figure. Like, you feel like you're on a playset somewhere. Like, this is your childhood imagination. Remember in the commercials for, like, G.I. Joe? They'd be, like, in the woods and shit. And you're like, God damn it, I wish I was playing with G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Not on a hardwood floor, but I wish I was in the jungle somewhere like these kids are.
Absolutely.
It's that come to life. It's like you're watching your childhood playset on screen. The scene where, in spoiler alert for Game of Thrones, when the redheaded girl gets murked by the little kid with the arrow. Yep. That whole fight scene in the castle is just like you're looking at a playset come to life.
Absolutely.
It's
yeah.
Just like the way they're building these sets, and that's what ruined the prequels. Is there's so much CGI, and then that's what made the original, you know, hold up their quality, was that they were just more Muppets and more actual sets and not just green screens.
I think that A New Hope needs all of the help it can get. I seriously have a newfound interest in going and watching A New Hope now, because I knew that I had to take note of anything that was germinating in this film, because it has to lead right into A New Hope. So you want to be able to see what happened, because we're watching the days leading up to A New Hope. These are the days.
Yeah, it's literally got to be a week ahead, right? It's got to be. This has to be.
Absolutely.
Days, like you said.
And it leaves you. I'm thinking to myself that, hey, this is going to leave you for probably about 24 hours away from something recognizable to us. Absolutely not. It leads you up to like the minutes before A New Hope. It's
which,
dude.
That movie ended. I watched it. I saw it last night. And it ended. And I was just like, God damn, I need to watch A New Hope right now. It was 1 o'clock in the morning, so I didn't. And I was just like, that movie ended. I was just like, God damn it, I need to watch A New Hope right now.
No, dude, it absolutely. And for everybody out there who hasn't seen it, you're going to see it tonight or tomorrow, whatever the hell it is, next weekend. The last 10 minutes is worth double the price of admission.
I said the same exact thing on my
double
podcast.
Double the price.
Literally the same exact word. I won't ruin it, but it was one of... It was just, I was literally like, and I read a review, it was no spoilers, I didn't want to say it, I kind of do, but I won't say it, because it will kind of give away the end, but not really, but it was just, and it delivers, it certainly,
okay,
sure shit
delivers.
Okay,
I'm going to say this, because it's not going to, you don't describe anything, whatever, but all I was hoping for, because this is as far back as it looks like we're going to go. As far as chronology goes, you know, this was as far back as we were going to go. All I wanted to see was a glimpse of Darth Vader in his most top flight evil form. That's all I wanted to see.
Well, in the books, and obviously as a young, you know, a young Darth Vader, when he was Anakin, he obviously kills a school of children Jedi, young Jedi. Mm-hmm. And in the books, He's a no mercy dude. There's no question about it. In the books, he's a motherfucker to the full extent of the word. So I agree with you that going into it, you're like, I just want to see some fucking Darth Vader.
Oh God. Oh my God. And I can't. I actually when I get off air tonight, in about 20 minutes, I am going to be texting Lauren to see if there's any place we can sneak into. Again tonight, yes. I'm itching to go and listen to the dialogue again.
Yeah, that is another thing. I mean, it was late, and I was just like, I saw it in 3D IMAX, and I'm not a 3D fan. But now every time I say this, kind of like when I was younger, I'm like, I don't like fish. But then I eat fish, and I'm like, oh, I like it. I saw it in 3D IMAX, and I'm like, eh, I like it. I think I like 3D. I think I'm on board for it now. But I want to, like, now I need to see it. Like, I saw it once, and I'm like, all right, now I need to, like, chew it up, digest it. Now I need to see it again. Now I need to, like, find all the Easter eggs in it, go online, read about all those Easter eggs, find them again.
Oh,
like,
definitely.
I got to see it at least two or three more times.
So
here's my question for you. Where does it fall, if at all? Like, do you consider it? I mean, it's a Star Wars movie, but it even says a Star Wars story.
I don't know, man.
That's what I'm saying.
I don't know. I think this is Apple. I was talking about this with Gypsy before. I think this might be apples and oranges. I don't know if you can compare this to a normal episode.
It's not a normal. It's a Star Wars. It's literally the perfect way to put a Star Wars story. It's a war. You're watching a war movie.
Yeah,
and it's fantastic.
You don't even get the crawl at the beginning, which I actually didn't like.
I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to say that. I don't know, but
it's the only thing.
Here's my question. I was torn about it. I was like, does this bother me that it's not that? That doesn't happen, or is it okay? And at first, I was like, why didn't they do that? They do something else that the originals children go at Star Wars and do. I love it. What was I saying? I don't even know what the fuck I was saying.
I don't know.
Yeah, the scroll. So it bothered me at first. But now we're not part of that. We're not hanging out with our old friend Han Solo and Skywalker.
You're right.
So this isn't that.
Well,
you
let
know,
me ask you this.
Go ahead.
Let me ask you this. Now that we went away from the scroll, the crawl. What about the music? The music to me. I'll ask you what you thought about the music first.
I was thinking the same thing. I'm sure every fucking Uber nerd is fucking, you know, who's balls deep in Star Wars is thinking these things. So it's not like we're, you know, unturning new rocks. But the music was just like it's Star Wars. Here's some Star Wars music, but we're gonna just twist it a little bit. Like when you think it's gonna go ba-da-dun, it's gonna go doo doo doo. Like you're like, okay.
Yeah, I hated that part.
It was like. You're waiting for this next little sound, and you weren't getting it.
Yeah,
so
dude.
I didn't hate it, but I was like, I don't know.
It was okay.
I'm torn about that.
It was noticeably not John Williams. I'll say that it was
correct.
Noticeably not
right,
John
yes.
Williams, and for the reason that John Williams brings you to orgasm. This was blue balls the entire fucking.
Yeah, that's a good.
It was.
You come. You come with the original score. With this one, you're just like, and you're like, not yet, you know?
But like what you just said, Vin, you said they don't resolve any of the melodies. For example, you
right.
hear things, it'll go like this. Dun, 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 da, 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 da. Like, no! Just finish it! That's
it.
You never get the satisfaction of any of those old melodies resolving.
Right. You don't.
So.
I mean, if they pump these things out every year, which it seems like they're gonna, and I've said this on my podcast, just build this universe. Is there an oversaturation point? I don't know. You know, if you do like a Spider-Man thing where you're telling the same, or Batman, you're telling the same origin story over and over and over again.
Yeah.
That's, I think, where the oversaturation comes in. Like, God damn it, I know how Spider-Man becomes Spider-Man. Just give me another fucking Spider-Man movie. Give me an adventure of Spider-Man. Give me that's what they did with the last X-Men movie. It was just an adventure of the X-Men. It wasn't this big, profound, this is how this one became this one, and this is this one.
Yeah.
It was just the X-Men going on an adventure. Like, you're watching a cartoon.
That's a great point.
Brilliant. So, if they give you that, if they give you a fucking IG-88 movie, I'm balls deep in it. Give it to me. But don't just retell something this universe is established. It's obviously bigger than, it might be bigger than our own universe. Who knows?
Yeah.
But don't just start just give me more. Give me a Bosque movie. Give me they're doing Han Solo, obviously. Just pour it on me. Just give it to me.
Right.
And if it's an oversaturation point, maybe. But I mean, if it stays like these, then it seems like every year they're just gonna come out with another one. I'm all in.
Okay, so now I am. I'm going to bring this up because you said there are a number of cameos. There's two cameos I'm going to bring up, and just because I don't think that they're going to be like, but
right.
And of course, because one of them has already been written about. Okay.
Right.
The one who's been written about was, of course, Peter Cushing as right. Grand Moff Tarkin. Now, right. Peter Cushing died in 1994. And Vin,
he looks great.
Vin, he looks amazing for being dead 20 years or so. I mean, holy shit. There were some angles as it was a little like, okay, that was a little cartoony. But as soon as
not really, dude. I was watching in 3D IMAX, and I was sitting there like, this motherfucker's alive. They have him. He's like Walt Disney. He might be frozen. They might have his head somewhere on ice. Because, yes, I mean, there were certain things like when he turns or something. They're like, it looks a little... Looks a little animated,
but it was so brief.
For the most part,
they were so little brief. It was amazing.
It's almost like when Han Solo stepped over Jabba the Hutt's tail when they re-released the originals. You're like, it looks so animated and digitally, but you have to really look for that type of shit.
Right.
But it was fucking. I was just like, whoa, that looks great.
It was amazing to see that, to see Peter Cushing just. It's fantastic. I'm talking as a technological feat. The performance was devious. It was amazing.
You want an Oscar?
It really was great. But let me ask you this: did you notice that I don't even know what his call signs were in whatever squadron he was in? But they brought in at least one of those squadron leaders from the 1970s. And they cameoed him in as well. He was one of the people. Which one was
it? Was that red one?
Red something, I think.
I think it was red one and gold one or something like
that. That one's a lot more subtle to pick up.
Yeah.
Red five? Yeah. Red five is Luke. I don't know.
I'm sorry, I lost that. You broke up. What'd you say?
I don't know. Mike was offering suggestions.
Oh.
About which color they were. Red, gold, green.
We're playing Bop It now.
That's
Bop
it.
The CGI, we'll call it. But I think they just rose him from the dead. It was crazy. Like you said, the guy's been dead for 20 years. It's like when they put Tupac on stage. Like, God damn it, that's pretty cool.
Yes. Absolutely. So people, watch out, because those are two of the cameos that we feel comfortable talking about.
Yeah, they're nothing crazy.
Yeah, it's great. But here's the thing I wanted to bring up. Now we're going off Star Wars just a little bit.
That's fine.
We're talking about the amazing technological feat to pretty much resurrect Peter Cushing and have him reprise his role as Grand Moff Tarkin. With how amazing that looked, where we can be staring this guy in the face and examine him, and it's amazingly believable. How, with all everything we have in the news today about fake news, this, fake that, this is a fraud, that's a fraud, can you imagine what could be created if people knew how to work this technology? And you know, as time goes on, this is going to become more and more consumer grade. You know it's going to be.
It's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when at this point.
Absolutely.
And it's also, if it hasn't already been on a higher level, obviously, I don't think on a rudimentary level, you know, you're going to be doing this in your basement anytime soon. Although who knows the way, you know, technology is advancing. But there's no question in my mind that there's been things like this done in the past that we're just like, oh, okay, we just take it for granted. You know what I mean? That we don't even know. It's like, oh, yeah, it's fine.
There's three ways can see this going. Number one is that that Hollywood uses this technology to immortalize people and bring them, keep them alive forever and have their voice and their faces on file and all that stuff. So things like this could be done even post-mortem or when they get too old to be believable in the role anymore. Obviously, the first time we saw this was when Arnold Schwarzenegger's likeness was used for the Christian Bale Terminator film. You remember that?
Yeah, and they also did it for Michael Douglas in Ant-Man, where they, well, you know, they kind of youngened him up, if you will.
I didn't see Ant-Man.
So, again, that technology is, I mean, it's very prevalent now. And I mean, they also, I mean, they did it for that, that was it Audrey Hepburn? Didn't they do her for that, that chocolate ice cream commercial?
I don't know. I didn't see the commercial. I didn't
I'm
see the
pretty
commercial.
Sure, I'm pretty sure that they used Audrey Hepburn for like one of those chocolate ice creams on a stick commercial. And I don't remember the brand. My wife loves it. If I yelled at her right now, she would know exactly what I'm talking about. But there's a commercial of her. I mean, they did it for Marilyn Monroe with the with Willem Dafoe for the Snickers.
Oh, Snickers.
Commercial.
I saw the Snickers commercial.
You know, so, I mean, it's the technology. I mean, they're using it, you know, but what do you in Hollywood for sure.
So then here's the things I think. Either Hollywood uses it to preserve their greatest stars. That's number one. Number two, it could be used to fake any kind of thing, cause controversy and influence public opinion, whether it be anything from fake, I mean, anything. You could stage stage assassinations. You could stage tragedies.
Sure.
It's ridiculous. And then there's that whole thing where people can use it for that kind of intent. But then, of course, the third one, which you know it's going to be used quickly, is porn. Okay?
Yeah,
think about what could
probably
be
already done.
Think about, but dude, think about this. There's going to be people out there who are going to have the technology and the know-how in their basement to put a New Hope Carrie Fisher's face on mm-hmm. some kind of a 2016 porn starlet's body, and it's going to look real.
And then you're going to be able to have a pocket pussy or a fake robot.
It'll
woman,
be all. It'll be VR.
You'll put on a VR headset, and you'll never have to leave your house.
That's it. Hey, come on. Hey, man, let's go. Let's go shoot. You want to go shoot some pool or something like that? No, man. Listen, I just downloaded the Carrie Fisher. Porno. I'm going to be in all night.
I got the new Carrie Fisher avatar. I'm going to fuck her till 4 in the morning.
Yeah, that's it.
Just as Obi-Wan Kenobi. Which get weird really quick.
Create
some
controversy.
Yeah, you just put on an Oculus Rift and you're good.
Oh, man. I love the... I'm not going to say it.
Don't ruin it.
Yeah.
So here's my question based off of that now. Because now, here's this. Does that take away from actors in Hollywood? Is that a thing where you're like,
no.
You know, you're dead now, so let's appreciate what you did, and now we move on. Like musicians, you're like, oh, and they're like, oh, we have some new undiscovered Jimi Hendrix. So
well,
like,
I would have to imagine that the Peter Cushing estate had to approve this to happen.
Yeah, they're going to fat paycheck.
So I think it's going to be used sparingly, and I think that if it's a necessity or if they want to try to do it, the script, the way that the image and the likeness and the person is going to be used in the script and all that stuff, it's all going to be laid out for decision makers within the families. I have to imagine. You can't just...
Yeah, I'm sure. When he first came on the screen, I swear at first thought... But I was like, he is dead, right? Like, I literally thought that I was like, I'm pretty sure he's dead.
Dude, our buddy
like,
Rob.
I knew he was. And then, like, I literally questioned myself. And I was like, is he not dead?
I don't think some people really realized that. Because when he first appeared on stage, on screen, of course, you see him through a reflection. And I thought for a second, okay, so I bet you any money that they're going to pull some good tricks and get around this by getting bad views of people, like you see them in the reflections and behind or profiles,
right.
Stuff like that. And,
so he's in the movie.
And no. And then it's just quickly no. And he's in it a lot. He's like a main
lead.
He plays the lead. He has a lead.
He does.
So,
and can we just as a group of as a society, can we just all agree to stop clapping in movie theaters?
It embarrasses you, right?
I'm like, I get it. I get it. I mean, I get it. You know, but like, they're not there. You know, the actors aren't there. Like, if you're going to a movie screening and the actors are there, 100% clap away. But if it's a fucking 10 o'clock showing in New Rochelle, you don't need to clap. You don't need to clap for fucking Darth Vader. You just don't.
You know, I thought it was going to be funny. That was the other thing with Vader. It's just like, you know, when they said, oh, Vader is going to be in the film. And, of course, the trailer shows you that one shot of him walking towards you in the mist. I was thinking to myself, imagine all this hype. And Vader is just like, the one shot of Vader in the whole film is actually him walking down that platform and just walking right by. And it was just like, oh, yeah, that was our brush in with Vader. It's just like, I saw him once in the hallways.
Yeah, exactly. It's just like a runway of Vader.
That's it. Oh, there he is.
This cape is just gallantly flowing throughout the galaxy.
Like, you know, Grand Moff Tarkin is in Rogue One. Oh, really? Where is he? Oh, you just kind of, he like walks by in a hallway once. You see him in the distance.
Right. No.
You could tell it was him, though.
It's him. Oh, man, it's wonderful. It's just a wonderful movie. I can't wait to see it again.
Hey, dude, thank you so much for calling in tonight. And
thanks for having me, man. Yeah, I need to like just spew out all my Star Wars talk. So
Friday night is a good night to do it. Hey, let me know when you want to go check it out again, man. I think I have at least one or two more rounds in me. So you let me know if you want to collaborate on one of them.
Let's do it.
All right, dude. I'll talk to you soon.
Thanks
have a great
me.
One, everybody. Check
care.
Out the Vinny Brusco Show on iTunes. Vinny, how often do you upload? Twice a week, you said?
Twice a week, yeah. Tuesdays and Friday mornings, usually. But
okay. Well, my man, you take care of yourself.
All right, buddy.
All right, be well.
Have a Merry Christmas. We could say that now.
Yes, Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas.
All right, buddy.
Take care. So there is Vinny Brusco from the Vinny Brusco Show. Now, listen, I know a lot of people have watched so far. Call in if you've seen I don't know if I can do that. Actually, yeah. Call in at your own risk. What? And go sit next to Matt.
That one has a better microphone.
Anthony's here. The 10 Second Songs guy's here. Oh, wait, this one doesn't have a... The camera doesn't work.
Well, there's nothing to...
But you're on anyway.
There's nothing to spoil, really. Everyone knows what the hell happens. Just don't mention the obvious things.
Yeah, that's what you can spoil.
Yeah.
But we got around to... We're just talking about cinematography. We're talking about how it looked, how it felt, the characters, whether or not there was any agendas there, because, of course, there was a lot of people... You know, I was gnawing my own fingernails off going into this because of what we saw on Twitter in the last couple of weeks. But pleasantly surprised. And it was a good night. Good night out. So we're going to take calls for a little bit more if you guys want to call. Donnie Yen kicked ass, by the way. I'll just say that. Donnie Yen. Awesome. And I think actually, what can we do? We could preview a little bit of where this is going in the next week of broadcasts. Of course, everybody, if this is the first time that you're watching the Quite Frankly podcast, it is a nightly show. If you check out Quite Frankly on YouTube, that is where I am from Monday through Thursday. Friday night, we do the special here, syndicated by Capstone Broadcasting on Facebook. Soon to be two nights a week on Facebook, Wednesday and Friday. But by that time, we'll have the technology in the studio over here in New York to simulcast to both platforms. So the nightly routine on YouTube will not be broken at that point. So if you want to do some more talk throughout the week, find us on YouTube. This was a little bit more of a special because of the Star Wars release. Usually we do news. We do uncensored, unfiltered social commentary. It's a controversial show. It's a blunt show, but it's a loving show. It's a very open show, isn't it? Isn't it a very open show? And I want to thank everybody on Patreon that supports the show. So without further ado, here's my bosses, starting with Brad Meyer, Matt DeFabio over there. What's going on, Matt?
What's up, bro?
Jenny Lee, Kate McCallum, Marianne Hart, Brian O'Connor Jr. What's going on, Gadget Doc? Brent Antilles. What's going on, Mr. Antilles? And of course, Rudy Escarcega, Jackie Milam, Eric Reitz, Whitney McShann, who Whitney is going to come on the show soon. She told me she would. We're just going to find a good topic to talk about. Pierre from France. What's going on, Pierre? Pierre's been doing all the thumbnails for the YouTube episodes. He's been such an awesome friend of the show. Thank you, Pierre. Matt Smith, Sean Collins, Christian Peppers, Max Ancaparato from Colorado, Rob Corrado, who actually, Rob didn't understand the enormity of Peter Cushing's lead role as Tarkin. It wasn't until the ride home did Rob realize that was all computer generated. I'm telling you, this is some freaky shit.
So that's, see, you just gave away one of the Easter eggs,
No, we talked about that the whole hour. That was one of the things we talked about with Vinny Brusco and stuff. It's not, he'd been written about. It had been written about already. He was going to be making it in there, and that's it. But we're just talking about how amazing it looked. Like this, wait until people watch it. There's going to be a lot of people fooled. A lot of people. Especially people that didn't know that he died in 1994. They're seeing him for the first time. So parents, explain to your kids what they're looking at. What technological marvel they're looking at when you're with them. LS Dan. What's going on? Dan Spratlin. Michael Wells. Nikki Solis. Andrew Dame. Laura Veris. Perry and Stacy Little. And Mike May, who got us all those tickets last night. He reserved them. So thank you so much, Mike May, for that. Always going out of your way to make sure we have a good movie viewing experience. So that's it. I'm not going to start any more topics because then that would make no sense. The entire hour has been Star Wars, so we'll just keep it as a Star Wars episode, and we'll drop it in little by little as people see it, and it becomes a little bit more socially acceptable to analyze the movie further. So we'll talk to you guys soon. Have a great weekend. Enjoy all of your holiday Christmas parties if you got those coming up. Do it well. All right, good night. Good night, everybody.